there's so many twists and turns, and but we want to thank you, man. Brock Kelly in the house, and I know you just made your debut on how you waited how many months before you could actually talk about, dude, you weren't announced like 3 weeks ago. We've been dying to have you on the podcast, and I talked to publicity and they're like, just wait, because we're not announcing till like last minute.
Yeah, it felt like I wasn't even on the show, like really, other than just seeing you and the other actors for the couple hours I'd be on set each day, because it's so quick. It didn't seem like I was an actor on television, because, you know, there was very, very delayed gratification. It's finally here, though. So
yeah, it was kind of like doing a feature.
Yeah.
Where you have to wait for, like, ever.
Totally, totally. Definitely just, like, you know, trying to keep quiet, trying to not post was a challenge, because I'm proud of getting a job, proud of working on the show and the work that we were doing, and excited, and you know, just had to keep quiet or else.
Did you have a little viewing party when your ep finally aired?
I wish I could say I did.
Okay.
But I didn't, because I had an audition. So I went to, I was in Santa Monica, I think, while it was airing on the West Coast. And I was getting texts, you know, from my mom and other family members. So they were watching and they were sending me like blurry videos to my phone. And I was trying to watch it, but, you know, it was really blurry. I guess she has an Android.
So did you... I got an iPhone.
Just like recording the screen?
Just recording the screen.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So cute though.
Yeah, and screaming and all that stuff.
Where'd you say you're from again?
New Orleans, Louisiana. New Orleans.
We've never been there.
No, like the two like hot spots, I feel. Well, like these days, I feel Austin, Nashville, and New Orleans are like talked about, like,
oh, yeah.
And Atlanta.
Yeah.
We've been there, but we haven't been to Austin or New Orleans yet. So we got to get there.
Missing out.
Really?
New Orleans, no other city like it. It's.
How so?
Oh, gosh. Just the energy there. It's a huge music town, live music town. Mm. And. Big on food. If you're a big foodies, then you must go there, because it's just, there's so many different cultures that are blended there. There's, you know, the Caribbean, African, just Southern, and it's gosh, it's, you know, it's one of those places where you should only be there 3 or 4 days, or it could be a problem.
Like Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. It's Vegas in the South. Totally.
Interesting. Yeah, we have some friends who just got back from there, and they are such foodies, and they're like, you guys have no idea. They would send us all these pictures, Mike and Ariane, when they went.
Yeah.
And I was like, this looks so good.
Yeah, oh gosh, it's so good. I actually grew up in the restaurant business. My parents, they own Adolfo's Restaurant, which is a Creole Italian restaurant right in the French Quarter. And gosh, it's been there for over 20 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I grew up in the thick of Frenchman Street, which is like, you know, one of the most popular areas in New Orleans for tourists to frequent. And yeah, they have a live blues bar that's right underneath. And yeah, it's just, it was just like a really interesting place to grow up, and just that vibe to be around as a kid, you know.
Because well, you're in the middle of the touristy part then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was never kind of a familiar. Like, there was always new people and always things happening, are there off seasons of tourism?
There's no off season, really. I mean, maybe like in the middle of July when it's just like, you know, dripping sweat, humidity, hot, you know, you're like walking through a jungle. But other than that, there's tourism really happening all throughout the year. And there were neighborhood kids. So, you know, there was people that, you know, we'd go to the parks and play soccer with, or whatever we would do.
Yeah,
right. I think we used to like do magic tricks when we were really young for tourists, like go around with like a little like traveling magic group. I don't know, it was
kind of. Did you hit them up for money?
Of course.
All right, I love it.
Hustling from the beginning.
Yeah, we weren't doing magic for free. Come on.
He's got a lot of hustling stories. I know that we had, well, because that's the cool thing too, is that there's a lot of people who come and go on the show, and I've told you this.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever had anybody on the show that I haven't gotten along with. Everyone's been nice.
Sure.
But then you hit it off with people. I feel like you and I slowly found that we had a lot in common, and we kind of have the same vibe.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like there's a lot of people in this town, too, that you'll run across that are just like, they just ooze, I'm an artist. Like, it's just like the energy so much. But I feel like we were just able to like kick it. We talked about some real shit. We got to like get to know each other.
Yeah.
And So I just really appreciated like getting to know you and your professionalism and everything on set. So it's been cool. And I know we've been trying to schedule a double date for like 6 months.
Long. I know. You're either out of town, my wife's working, or something's happening.
It'll make it that aligned, much.
But it will.
It will happen at some point.
We got this here first, so yeah. At least we got to do this intro, and yes. Now we just have to meet the wife.
Yes. Yeah, she's working, unfortunately. She would have been here, but
where's she work, or what'd she do?
She's a registered nurse at the number one trauma hospital in Southern California, which is in Torrance. So she's a nurse. She's dealing with like gunshots and stabbings and just crazy, crazy stuff like down in Torrance, California. Whenever like the Coast Guard rescues somebody on a helicopter, whether it's, you know, out in the desert or like the mountains or out in the ocean, and they're bringing somebody, that's the hospital that they bring them to. So yeah, she's at a very, very busy hospital dealing with high trauma patients.
Oh my gosh. To be in that industry, you have to be such a special human to be able to see and deal and keep your cool and calm. You know what I'm saying?
Truly.
God bless her.
Yeah, right.
What's her name?
Adele.
Adele.
Mm-hmm. With no E at the end. She wants to she
makes sure. Hi, Adele. Double date soon.
Adele with no E.
Adele with no E at the end. She because, you know, she wants to differentiate from the singer.
Did she want to be in the trauma, or did that just kind of how it just the doors opened in that direction?
The door opened for that job because she was doing cosmetic nursing before that, which is like, you know, Botox and filler and all those things at a medical spa. And that was the first place she got hired after nursing school. And then this job opened up at the hospital. Wow. And I guess that was the only position open. It's like a really high stress one. So she took it and she loves it, actually. I mean, it's, you know, crazy in there. She's always talking about, she can't really talk in detail about what's happening, but you know, she's always talking about how their hands are full and just all the crazy stuff.
How'd you guys meet?
We had mutual friends, which is like kind of how we kept running into each other. I used to be a model like back in the day, and her roommate was the secretary at my modeling agency.
Oh, wow.
And she put in some words for me, and we met at this lounge that I think our friend had like an event at, and we both happened to be there. That's how I met her. We started talking, really hit it off. And the problem was, and I'm not telling this chronologically, which may sound like a little weird that I asked the secretary to put in a good word for me, but the problem was when we first met, we were both in relationships. So we just kind of, you know, we're polite and just cordial, but left alone. And then like we both ended up getting out of relationships later and kept seeing each other. And then that's when I put the word in.
Yeah.
Timing's everything.
Stalked her and locked her down.
Locked it down, dude. And you've been married for how long?
2 years.
Wow. Yep. Congrats.
2 years. Got married. Thank you. We were together for much longer before that.
Sure.
But just finally got married because...
It's what you do.
Yeah, so why, I mean, after so long, you're just like, it's really just about like coming together to celebrate, you know, and just have the family and just have that ceremony. And plus, you know, it was fun. We went to the Dominican Republic. We got married there.
Ooh, way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great time. So.
Was it a big wedding or destination?
It was a small. We kept it small. There was probably about 30 people, I would say.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, congrats. That's awesome. Yeah. You see, you're building towards the future. And
yeah.
It's kind of nice in this town, too, because things are so wishy-washy. It's like to find like a partner in crime to go through these phases, cause especially in our industry, everything's so uncertain that it's just nice to just have like someone so you're not just like...
That certainty.
Yeah.
To have that person you can rely on to just be there for you, with you, through the ups and downs, and just, you know what to say and what to do to, you know, help you get out of whatever funk you're in or motivate you to keep you going once you got it going. She's
great. That's dope, dude.
Aww. Do you guys want kids?
We do. Yeah. Not sure when, but we definitely are open to it whenever it happens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
It's kind of how we are. I mean... Mm-hmm. Not like tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. Like we're not going to adopt tomorrow.
Right.
But maybe adopt in the future.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love that.
How's the auditioning going? Because now that we're about to go on a hiatus here in a week and a half.
Yeah, I know. So trying to line work up. I did just have a very busy 2 or 3 weeks. Got a movie with Mar Vista, which is a company I've worked with before. I auditioned for like the lead role of this film that they're doing, and they ended up thinking I was too young to have an 18-year-old daughter. So they offered me the guy's, the main character's best friend.
Okay.
So I'm shooting that. Had a few other auditions, that went pretty well, but nothing yet, you know.
That's crazy. Is that what the beard is for the character, or is that just Brock's look right
now? The beard, the beard. This is, like I was saying, this is like my go-to community college philosophy professor look. You know, it's like perfect. Chill, down to figure it out and talk about it, you know, if you are.
I love it, dude. I think it's a cool look. I like to that's what I was telling you when we were walking in. That's one thing I'm excited about with the hiatus is that I'm clean shaven all year. My hair is a certain length. Like I can't, like sometimes you want to make a change with like your appearance just for whatever you're going through in life or like, you know, so I can't wait. I'm going to pull off that look at least a little bit and then we'll see what I do.
What was
that.
It like 4 years ago? I think it was like a year that you took off and he shaved his head. Didn't you shave it yourself?
Nice.
Well, I tried cutting it and I messed it up, so I had to shave it.
I'll never forget that day. I walk in, I'm like, what are you doing?
I've done that too. I know how that goes. It's like you're just over it and you just want to you want to reset. It's the old Britney Spears, you know.
100%.
You
have to.
You gotta do the Britney Spears every
day. Britney all day.
Mm-hmm. I love it, dude.
He's so jealous. He wants to grow a big one.
Yeah.
Right?
Soon. Yeah. It's going to be crazy, man. I haven't, like, having time off. So I know that you were because you were working, where were you working before? Because you had an interesting job. And then, because that's, and then it's like trying to figure out what to do with your free time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's.
Yeah, well, acting really slowed down for me, like, I would say 4 years ago. And my wife was really doing well commercially. She's a commercial actress too. But the thing with commercials is if you book like a Allstate commercial, you can't do State Farm. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do competitors. So she had so many commercials running at one point, she really couldn't audition. And when I met her, she wanted to be a doctor. And I like kind of derailed that and introduced her to my agent. She started auditioning, started working, and, you know, fell in love with that too. So she started to mostly do that and just, you know, dropped out of school pretty much. And once this, you know, all these conflicts arose, she had all this free time and she was like, I'm going to go back to school. So she went back to school, became a nurse.
Wow.
And like I said, acting was it was really tough. I wasn't getting a lot of jobs about 4 years ago. And I was like, I gotta do something to bring money. And I got offered this job as a broker at a commodities firm. And what that is, you know, we basically had clients where we took investments for metals or cryptocurrency. And it was really, really crazy because I didn't have any experience. I met the people that ran it through this one guy that was helping me find financing for this script that I wrote. And he told me about this job and I went there and it was actually right down the street from where we filmed Days. And it's in a building that's shared with like TBS and Warner Brothers. So I was kind of like still in the middle of, you know, the TV and film world, which was cool. Ran into a couple of casting directors and they brought me in for some things while I was in the elevator to, you know, to audition for. But anyway, this finance job, it was crazy. I was there for 3 years. And what we did was basically took people's money that wanted to invest and hopefully protect their investment and multiply it over time. Like I said, I didn't know anything about it, and it was like a crash course and you know, stocks, and not that we did stocks, but like a lot of what you do or what we did was pitching against stocks, so you had to kind of understand, where they their values. And we we were a very successful company, and it just got to be to a point where I was so burnt out. but I got the audition for Days of Our Lives in year three of that, when I was at that company. And I was like at a point where I was very successful there, but I was going nuts. Like it's just, there was so much work, there was so much pressure to meet numbers, and yeah, there was also a lot of competition. You know, it's basically sales, you know, so.
I was going to ask, so you'd find your own clients?
Well, no, they contact us pretty much, and or they would contact us, and, you know, we would have to basically sell them on trusting us with their money. Right. And, you know, it was a very competitive company where everybody was in competition with each other. There weren't really teams or anything, so, you know, there were people that worked with people that, you know, together, but for the most part everybody was in competition with everybody, but you could help each other make money, if that makes sense. Right. Sounds like a Ponzi scheme, but it's,
no, it's like Wolf of Wall Street.
Totally. Any like film or TV show that you ever see that has to do with like guys or girls in a in an office on the phones talking with people about their money is
exactly what you're
totally
doing.
Legit, like that's exactly what they're doing. So, so I did that, and it was just, it was not really for me.
Right.
Like, to my core. I did well, and I was going nuts, and then this opportunity with Days of Our Lives came up out of nowhere.
Hmm.
Marnie Saeda gave me my first job in LA and on Young and the Restless, like, 15 years ago. So, she called me in for it, and, well, I can't really talk about the character, but, you know, she talked about it a little with me, and I think I was just at a point in life where everything aligned, and it worked out. Thank God.
Heck yeah.
Amazing,
yeah.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Thank you.
Could you start? Exciting. What was the, I think we can definitely talk that you had, Evan was not the initial name.
No.
We went through three.
The character.
It was the Manny, right?
I think it was Manny the Manny at first. And then
he's a babysitter.
There was one other one. There was one other one in between.
Oh yeah, there was. Gosh, it was pretty bad too. Was it Doug? Or was it like
Doug?
Something like that?
Yeah, it was just like a random, it was just like kind of random. Like I feel like with like, yeah. And your last name hasn't came out yet, which I think we can mention. But that's also, I've never heard anyone with the last name Freers.
Yeah, Freers.
Freers.
I don't even know.
Oh, that's the name.
Evan Freers.
Yeah.
And it took me forever to be able to say that, where I'm like, oh, yeah, you know Evan Freers. Like, you could, like, you know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah, it's not, I've never heard of that name. Have you guys ever heard of Freers?
It doesn't come off the tongue.
It does not roll off the tongue at all.
So when I had to, like, keep, like, you'd mention him in other scenes, like, oh, yeah, you know. Evan Freers, he's you know, X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But it all works out. You get used to it after a while. And
yeah.
What was your audition process like for that?
So I walked down the street because I literally worked down the street from where I auditioned. I walked over there, sat in a room with a bunch of guys, waited my turn, went in there, knew all my lines, nailed it, and just had fun with it. Humbly speaking.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a professional talking though. After this many years, it's like.
Well, so they call me, or she said right in the room, I'm gonna call you back to meet the producer. And that was going to be Albert. So I think a few days went by, went back, again, waited in a room with a bunch of guys for my turn to go. And then I met Albert and that's right. Yeah, so I met Albert, and then they wanted to see me do another scene that had nothing to do with the first one that I was auditioning with. And I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this specific.
It was just a different type of scene.
It was a different type of scene.
Yeah.
Did they ever end up shooting that different type of scene? Like, did that ever come to fruition?
That different type of scene was a character that's already on the show. Is that okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they wanted to see what you had in the tank.
They wanted to see what I had in the tank. And I emptied it.
emptied
the tank.
Hence the reason you are employed,
over that room. So
boom shakalaka.
Yeah, Albert jumped up out of his chair and hugged me. I'd never seen that happen in my life.
Wow.
I was shocked. And yeah, he was fired up. It was awesome. I was fired
love
up too.
Love that.
Albert's super passionate. He's EP director. Like he directs some of the episodes, executive producer. But I mean, he knows every scene. Come on. You got to get that. Like he really coaches you. He wants you to hear. Yeah.
He cares and he coaches. Yeah. It's awesome having him there. So that was so cool. When he jumped up and hugged me, and I had a feeling that they were going to call me. And I went back to the office that I worked, and I was staring out the window. The window points directly at the Warner Brothers water tower.
Oh, my God.
Which was so torturous for 3 years, just staring at it while I'm, you know, talking about things that, you know.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin, gold, or whatever. And why you shouldn't buy stocks and buy what we're selling.
Amazing.
And I was staring at it, and I got a phone call, and I saw on the call ID who it was, and I was just like, This is it, dude.
If you got a hug and didn't get it, that would have messed with you. You'd be on like a sales call being like, you got to get the gold, because if someone's going to hug you, you think you'd get it. Wait, sir, what is that? Just listen, go with gold. Bitcoin's fine.
Are you crying, sir?
Yeah, you're crying? He hugged me. You don't get it. I got a hug.
Yeah. He hugged me. I'm glad he called me.
Yeah.
Good experience then overall.
Totally.
What was your first day like on set with everyone?
Oh, it was really quick, I would say. When I was first on the show, I think you got like several takes and I think a couple rehearsals. But now it's like you're rehearsing or you block in the beginning of the day or, you know, when you get there. Then maybe one rehearsal before you shoot, which they were generous enough to give me one. My first day, and then they shoot it, which it was such a whirlwind for me that I was like, are we done already? When we were finished, I didn't realize we were already done. It was so quick. So it was very quick for me. But aside from that, like everybody was so welcoming, like in terms of the cast, the crew, everybody in hair and makeup. So they made it feel like very warm right when I got there and made it a good environment to step into.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's so crazy. So you played two different characters. One you said a real long time ago. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. And then now you play Evan.
Totally different person.
That's amazing though. I love that they could do that.
I know, right? It's just, it's so fun. Like just, it's so clever what they can do for so long. They're able to keep people's attention for 54 years. What it is?
Mm-hmm.
The crazy. Writing is I mean, you know, it's so clever to, you know, soaps, they get a bad name out there because they do, but like really I haven't seen writing like, you know, on this level. I mean, I do see writing on this level, but like, you know, it's
at that volume.
Exactly. At that volume. Yes.
It's crazy. That much dialogue and for it to be just great. And I think that's the thing that people need to take in consideration as well. When it comes to the actors and the writing, we're putting up three feature films a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, and what they do is incredible. But it's nice, though, to see someone, because the episode that aired, your very first episode, was that your very first day?
Mm-hmm.
They shot it in order. I can't remember when it was
chronological.
But you had a lot of dialogue, too, for your first day. You stepped right in. Dude, I was watching. I was like, man, you did good. Because, you know, when you're in it, you see it differently. When you're acting with someone, you're not able to kind of do both. But I was watching the scene, man. You should be proud of yourself. That was so good, dude.
My mom, she recorded it. So I'm going to be going home pretty soon to visit either Thanksgiving or Christmas, so I'll see that.
So you haven't seen it?
I haven't even seen it.
Oh,
I know,
my gosh.
But I air again, I think, on the 18th, and I'm definitely watching, or at least I'm going to record it. I don't know.
You can go to NBC.com too and watch.
Oh,
yeah.
I think there's like about a 2 week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
tonight.
How I watched the first.
All right.
You'll watch
it tonight. Then.
You can't fast forward through all the commercials, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's a cool watch. And I'll
money.
Also, you what?
They have to make money. I get it.
Yeah. Oh, they have to. That's
watch sponsors.
Yeah, they really. And then if you have time before we go, I'll show you like another clip because they are. It's the Emmy submission. Did you get an email about that?
I did not. No.
You will be because you can submit for whatever, either supporting or guest star or whatever
cool.
you want to do.
Awesome.
But they give us some episodes in advance. to really? Watch because you have to look to submit. So I actually fast forward, or I looked at like November like 27th.
Oh wow!
So I got a couple. Sneaky. So if you know the episode, awesome. You can take a little. You can take a little.
It must
peek.
Be nice to you know have 8 years under your belt, 750 nice plus episodes.
Yeah, they just you know they just send
Where's
me.
The hardware?
Yeah,
where's that Emmy?
The hardware is out there in the there, in the living room. Yeah, this way when everyone comes over and we all sit around, they're like Emmy. I go oh. Just sitting there.
Just sitting there shining. There's shining. A rag for your guests to shine if they wish.
Yeah, yeah, if you have to, yeah, you have to put a glove on to touch it. I've actually done a terrible job. We never used like a, we need it cleaned. We've moved it and we've never.
I cleaned the table it's on the other day and I was like, I really should like wipe this off. So I wiped it off with like a wet.
I don't know if you can do that.
I don't want to get too crazy with it, but I gave her a nice little cleanse.
Yeah, nice. Well, she's made the journey to each of our apartments that we're moving.
Yeah, but, all the way in Florida at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lived in Florida for 6 months, and then
it's crazy.
Florida.
We moved back. Yeah.
Or you're not from there, are you?
I am. Yeah, South Florida. Yeah.
South Florida.
And we kind of just needed it. It was that year when he shaved his head.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're like
went nuts. Yeah. So you went shaved nuts, my head.
Go to Florida.
Moved
you go
to
nuts,
Florida.
I've seen all the memes. You're a Florida man. You went wild.
We wanted to stay, but we tried to be bi-coastal because he ended up working
coming back
again.
To Days. They called me
just too much.
3 weeks before we had everything packed, and Days called me back, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this." And so I was like, "Well, we can do bi-coastal," and it was just way too difficult. Yeah. So we got rid of the apartment. But I'm actually glad though because I don't really want to live in Florida.
No,
I wanted to for a hot minute because I was like, it's always warm there.
Yeah,
it's affordable. But LA has just always pulled me back, and now I feel for the first time ever that I'm like,
this is
going to be where we end up.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know which city, mm-hmm. but
within
30 minutes of this
area.
LA County. We just need to make more money. That's all it is. You know, totally. It's like you have to be like rich to live a comfortable upper middle class life where you can go to dinner and have a house
mm-hmm. and not be stressing at the end of the month when the bills come. Yeah.
Yeah. Or having to maintain that kind of overhead.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I never look at it with Days. It's like, yeah, we get paid well, but I don't look at it as, oh, I get paid well and this is going to continue
forever.
I go, well, I'm going to get paid nothing when it's over one day. So it's hard to want to make those investments and then be stressed out about an $8,300 mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah. Or God forbid your air condition breaks or,
What the hell are you going to do?
Whatever, plumbing, you know, whatever comes with owning a house. I don't know. Yeah. Yet, obviously, but, you know, it's so expensive out here. That's why you have to have many, many hustles, many side hustles. You can't just, you want to just have acting as your main source of income and be able to, but you know, even look at all the top actors, they're all doing things on the side to
just
bring in extra money because, you know.
Especially more than ever, I feel, with social media, being able to, like, partner with brands or, you know, whatever it might be. I feel like it's more of a thing now that people want to do side hustles and partnerships, and it's easier, I suppose.
We have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see, but we're going to keep plugging away. We're always trying shit. That's why I loved your hustle on the sales, dude, because
It's
just fun, dude. That high. We were in sales for many years too, and
you were.
And network marketing for four years, full time.
Anti-aging,
and then technology,
27.
And dude, you learn a lot, man.
Yeah, you do.
Just sales and just calls and it was worth it, though. Do you feel you've taken some of the things you learned from that job, though, in your life?
100%. I'm so happy that I did it. It was very draining, very exhausting. Started getting more gray hairs than ever before, but I just realized like the importance of connecting and just, you know, I don't know, just hard work, just being relentless and getting over adversity because, you know, there's a lot of no's, just like in acting, there's, you know, I don't know what the numbers are, but they say there's like, at least where we were, it was like 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 100 people buy.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know you'd be going through like all these leads and you know just feeling hopeless, but like with velocity, with going through it as fast as possible, and just getting over the pass, which could be a person cursing you out or talking crazy about Obama being a lizard or whatever the hell people were talking about.
Yeah.
Or just being drunk, you know, and then just wanting to talk. And you're like, well, this person's kind of cool. I'll talk to this person just because, yeah, like, I need to check out of my day. You know, it really, I don't know, it's just, I think it built character in, mm-hmm, in me, like, even as an actor, you know, because,
oh, yeah,
now I'm just like, yeah, nothing can really, I mean, things can get under my skin. If Albert Alar hugged me and didn't call me back, I think that would hurt, but
that would hurt, yeah.
That would hurt bad. It would cut deep, Albert. Don't ever do that to anybody if you're listening. But, you know, it's really helped me just to be like, on to the next with each acting project that comes to me, you know. I'll go out there, put my best work out there with preparation and just, you know, being focused and centered in the room, and then just kind of leave it, you know, let it go, really. And I think that was probably something that I formulated when I was doing sales.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dang. Boot camp for boot everything. Camp.
Yes.
You got to just build that rejection muscle. Mm-hmm. I think even after a while, too, like,
it's strong.
You just get, oh, my God, dude. With acting and sales, and you just get, I think it's anything in life, really, though, because even when we start putting out podcasts, like, we're very blessed to have a lot of positivity, but mm-hmm, you still get negative, sure, people and all social. But I think after a while, you just get rejected and shit on so much, mm-hmm, that it becomes numb. Yeah. Someone who doesn't put themselves out there, that first time that someone critiques your work or, mm-hmm, leaves a negative comment or, yeah, you get told no, just destroys
crushed
them because they never
crushed
heard no.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I bet you with you, dude, it was much harder because you're trying to sell people on the sense of like, look, like, trust me with your money,
yeah,
and it's, you're so going to invest here. So that's probably even harder than like, hey, you don't have to believe it works. Just give it a try and let the product do the work. So we, yeah, at least had like an easy way in, and it wasn't like, oh yeah, here's 25 grand. Put it into crypto, please.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
dude,
that's, there was a lot of pressure, and we, you know, we lost some money. We, yeah, we made a lot of money with some people. So, you know, it's tough when it's just, it's really, gosh, it's all about when you buy, you know, and that's, mm-hmm, really what people don't understand when you're talking about, like, you know, investments.
Mm-hmm.
You want to buy low and you want to sell high. Mm-hmm. Problem is, people start hearing about things from the media, and that's when it's too late, but they're already hot to trot, they say, and they're like ready to buy at that time. They, you know, they're trying to catch the train before it's already, but it's already gone. You know, they're catching yeah, the back of the caboose, and they're like holding on for dear life as it's going over the edge. So it's kind of like the stock market. The stock market is like 27 plus thousand right now. And I mean, you know, I talked to a lot of people that are looking to invest in it now, and hey, there may be opportunity for growth because, you know, the economy's, you know, kind of booming right now, but how much higher can it go? You know, like, sure, it's never been, I mean, it's probably not as high as it's ever been. It's, I think it's like 27,400 today. That's the Dow. And it, I don't know, the highest is maybe 27,700 possibly. I don't quote me on those numbers, but, you know, let's say like the Dow increases by 5%. Okay. So you get 5% growth. That doesn't even cover inflation over a year. And they, mm-hmm, say inflation is like, you know, it goes up like 6%, cost of, you know, goods is like 6% per year. Well, what if the stocks, say you dump a lot of money in there, what if the stocks, like, you know, they take a big cut, a big dip, like they typically do every 10 years, you know, what if you're buying now to catch that extra 5%, but you end up losing way more because, you know, it's overvalued, which, you know, most likely is. I mean, how high is it going to go? You know, you think it's always
investing,
the question,
though. Well, if you did, because you said they also did crypto, mm-hmm, and you were there 4 years ago. So wasn't Bitcoin pretty low then?
It was.
Did,
yeah,
you ever buy any?
I did. Yeah, I did. And I lost a lot of money.
We did too. I lost a lot of money every day. We're in Coinbase.
You didn't sell, right?
I did. Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I sold because needed to pay some bills, but you know,
yeah, yeah,
it's gone up and recovered, but
what's it at now, do you think?
I think it's at like 8,000,
okay,
something,
yeah,
8,000 or 9,000. A lot of people that I helped invest in Bitcoin have made money because they bought when it was like at 4.
Of course.
Yeah. And there was some people that bought, you know, at the peak, but not many because I wasn't into it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We bought at every level. We bought it. Yeah. We bought some at 5,000, 8,000, 10,000, 19,000.
We're like, it's going up.
It's going to 100. We're making totally. We're millionaires.
It's
going
to go to 100,000. Yeah. I still think it could probably shoot up in the future. I don't know what's going to happen with it. But
sure. Yeah, that was the thing about the crypto and the gold. People bought it to kind of get away from traditional investments like stocks or the U.S. dollar or, you know, other currency. They wanted to get away from the banking system. And that's also what gold does. It's just more archaic than crypto. Crypto is like the future. Hopefully, the closer future rather than the distant future.
Yeah.
but... You know, if people held on to it and they continue to hold on to it, obviously, that's the long game. Those investments, you know, stocks. Yeah. I think can, you know, they're short term, medium, can be long too. But you know,
just holding on.
Yeah, just hold, and buy the dips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds so easy, and then you get into it.
You're so stressed.
That's why I just don't know what to do. I'm hearing mixed opinions on whether to buy a house or not when you break it all down. Yeah. And you know, and you, it's like at the end of the day, it's like, what the hell do you really do? I just think it's that idea that it's like in our generation, like, oh, we got to be ready for when we're 65 or 70. And it's kind of like the world's not even gonna be recognizable by then. Like, I feel like continuing to just build a brand, learn, just pay attention to what's going on. I think we're going to keep climbing and make, you know, something will make sense. Right now we're just kind of saving because we went through like some horse shit in 2015.
Yeah.
So now we're just very stingy. We're like, just like waiting until something looks like great.
Valuable.
Yeah.
Where's
instead of rushing it, we're just like, let's keep doing the work, keep saving the money and just kind of wait for an opportunity that isn't a Hail Mary, like buying Bitcoin at the time of its hype. Yeah. We would have made 20 grand if we'd have pulled out, but I didn't want to pull out at 14,000-15,000. Mm. I was like, no, it's going to keep going. So
a lot of people did though. That's the game you get into, you know?
Yeah.
No, we're going to say, sorry, we're going to say,
I think we were talking about real estate, when we first met each other on set.
Yeah.
We were talking about like, where do you see value? You know, if the market happens to take a dip, you know, obviously, real estate is something that's physical, it's tangible, you can live in it, and you know, it's valuable, especially in California, so it could grow over time. So you know, it's something like you know, crypto or even stocks. You want to buy low, buy a company or a product that is undervalued and ride it up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
It'll all make sense in 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we're 60 some years young.
Hindsight.
Oh my God. We have a lot of life to live, man. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff. I just want to have a good time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah, man.
That's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about.
That's what we're trying to do.
Before we wrap up, I don't know if you want to share this on the air, but it's a fantastic story.
Okay.
Do you know where I'm going with this yet?
I don't
know if you've thought about it in a while, but
oh God.
Have you ever been like forced off the road by a celebrity?
Oh my God.
No.
Wow. Yeah, I have actually. Jeez. Yeah. God, I try to black this out. I'm still scarred. Yeah, so geez, right up the street too. That was probably one of the scariest moments of my life.
And it happened before. I remember you were pretty like shooken up about it. You were just I think did it more just startle you? No one knows the story yet. Let's get into. Do you mind sharing it?
I'll share it. Yeah, okay. I'll share it. So
now he'll be able to find you though.
Yeah, gosh, this is gonna be out there. But look, disclaimer, please don't take this as like a threat, bro. I didn't mean anything when I honked the horn. It was just you were about to hit me, so I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to get in an accident and deal with all that. But about 7:30 in the morning, a few months ago, probably 4 months ago, my wife and I were sharing a car at the time because mine was in the shop. I have an old 68 Camaro and it's always in the shop. So I was using her car and it's a brand new Tesla. And anyway, I dropped her off at work and I was coming back over the hill. It was like 7:30 in the morning. There was nobody on the road except for me and two other cars. And I was in the right lane. There were two cars in the left lane and there was a red light. I was coming up to the red light. It turned green and the car that was behind the car at the red light cut me off very quickly because they didn't want to wait any longer. And I was in my wife's Tesla, which is brand new. Right. Didn't want to get hit. Didn't want to deal with an accident. honked the horn, laid on it like half a beat longer than I should have. You know, not that I should have, but just, you know, I was a dick about it. So yeah. I'm talking to my mom on Bluetooth, like on the whatever in the car system. I don't know. My Camaro doesn't have any of that because it's old. Like the Tesla, you can just like talk to somebody and their voice comes from the car somewhere. So I'm talking to my mom and all of a sudden it's a minivan that cut me off and it slowly gets over to the left lane. I see a lot of demonstrative movement from the driver's seat. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, I'm looking over there and like all of a sudden the car slows down and gets next to me and it's Shia LaBeouf. And he is heated. Oh man, is he heated. And he's like going off. He is going off at like a 10 or 15, you know, and I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, dude, you cut me off, man. Like, what are you yelling at me for? And he wouldn't go away. He started to swerve at me because I think, you know, he wanted to talk it out on the side of the road. So I'm like, Mom, let me call you back. I got to do something. So I hang up on her and I roll down the window and he's just hollering on the top of his lungs. I'm trying to talk to him, trying to like, you know, be sensical. And there's no talking to him.
As you're driving?
As we're driving down Laurel Canyon, a windy road.
How are you next to each other? Or he was just cutting in front of you? And
no,
then...
we were just like going like that, you know? And he's and both windows are down. God. And he's calling me every name in the book and telling me to pull over because, you know, I think he wanted to dance or something. And,
yeah.
And
this is at 7:30 in the morning.
This is at 7:30. I didn't even have coffee. You know, my wife and I had like a very great morning, just chill, relaxed, and all of a sudden I'm about to fight Shia LaBeouf on the side of the road. There's no one else out. We're definitely fighting to the death because he's the type of guy that's not gonna quit.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna get beat up by Shia LaBeouf. So like somebody's gonna be unconscious. You know. Yeah. So anyway, we get down to the red light. We get down to the next street and he cuts over and he like puts his arm out the window and he's like doing that, like telling me to pull over. And yeah. I didn't realize it at the time. So I slow down, I look over, I'm like, dude, you're fucking crazy. Leave me alone. And I drive past him. He whips back onto Laurel Canyon, starts following me again. And I'm like, okay, great. This is it. I'm fighting Shia LaBeouf. The next stop, like it has to happen. He won't leave me alone. Like I have to fight Shia LaBeouf now. Like I'm a big fan of this guy. I grew up on Even Stevens. Yeah, I love Shia. I think he's a supremely talented actor, but I was going to have to fight him. So I take my hoodie off because it was kind of cold and like I'm wearing sandals. I'm like, shit, this sucks. Like I'm about to fight in the street in sandals. Take those off, throw them in the next thing. We're going down the street and he's, you know, calling me every name in the book some more. And all of a sudden I see like this dad walking with his two kids. One's in a stroller. The other's like a toddler. And he's like, we're cursing at each other top of our lungs now. Like, I'm going to fuck you up. The next stop. Da, 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 and I'm giving it back to him. And the dad's like looking at us so disgusted. Like I make eye contact with him. And he looks at us so disgusted. He's like, so I'm like. And like I start like I'm like, you motherfucker, you know, I'm like now like speaking whispering curse words to Shia LaBeouf. Oh, and he makes eye contact that way, and there was a cop there. Hmm. And I was like, oh shit, like are we gonna be in trouble for speeding? Like I'm like, are we speeding? Are we driving erratically? Like now I'm thinking like we're gonna get in legal trouble. And the cop doesn't notice. He had like his head thing on. He was doing a speed trap, you know, like trying to catch people speeding. I guess we weren't speeding. And I look back over at Shia to see what was up, and he's just looking straight now. And we're coming up on like the red light, and I'm like, okay, well the cop's gone, so like let's see, is this going down? And he just didn't look back over my way again. It was the weirdest thing. He just was like looking down. He had the saddest look on his face, and I was just like, Jesus,
what?
It's kind of weird. Like, you know, did he just like flash back to all the drama that he's kind of been going through, or that was in, you know, several years ago? And
wow.
Yeah, that was it. There was nothing else. I was just making sure he didn't like come run up, you know, sucker punch me or anything through the window. So I just watched him, and I wasn't trying to antagonize, you know, and like start a fight,
right,
you know, or anything like that. But yeah, he just turned off the street, and that was it.
Dude, that's wild.
It was very strange, and I called up like a couple of my friends because, you know, he knows some of my friends. Some of my friends have produced movies that he was in, and. And I told him, they're like, yeah, you know, he must be going through something. And I was like, oh, I guess so. Poor guy. He just wants to be, he just needs a friend.
Yeah.
I just want, Shia, if you're out there, dude, and you're watching, I'll just be your friend, bro. We can let all that Laurel Canyon drama be past us and, you know, go play some basketball or something.
That's insane. Well, I'm glad nothing actually escalated, because that couldn't have ended well.
Oh, yeah.
If you would have actually fought. And are you a trained fighter?
It was going to be to the death, for sure. It was going to be. He's a trained fighter. I don't want to say I'm a trained fighter, but, like, I have training, you know?
Yeah.
He's definitely got training, so it was going to be ugly.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to fight him at all. I liked the guy a lot.
Thank goodness you guys did not.
I know.
Thank goodness.
Shia LaBeouf. You know, I'll fight him in a ring for charity. Like, I'd fight him for that, you know, but I'm not just going to fight him in the street to the death, dude. Like, come on.
Were you on your way to work?
No, I was dropping my wife off to work. And,
oh, that's what I heard. Okay.
Oh, you know what? I was about to start Days of Our Lives. It was like 2 days. That was the other thing. I remember now. Because I was like, okay, I just quit this finance job and I just got Days of Our Lives. Because I got Days of Our Lives. I was starting on Monday. This happened on Saturday. It's like, if I go fight this dude and we're like all like beating each other up, like I can't show up to set looking like that.
On my first day.
So that was another reason also, like, why would you want to fight Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah. Those are the kind of people, though, like, just with that kind of energy that I would never mess with. Because those, I don't know if you can, you'd have to, like, actually knock him out to stop. You're right. They're the scariest to want to fight.
Unconscious. Like, one of us was going to be unconscious if we fought. And then there was no one else around. So if it was going to be me, who knows what he would have done to me while I was unconscious.
No.
Especially if it was sexual. I don't know what he's into.
Oh, my God, dude.
I'm joking.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, that was just intense. Dude, like, that's something you don't hear every day.
Didn't he do a movie once, and he's such a method actor? He was dating this girl, and I guess they broke up because he's like, well, no, I have to sleep with the woman I am in the movie. Like, he actually did, and that's why they broke up. Like, he does some...
I wouldn't put it past him.
Some crazy, wild stuff.
I read about Fury, the movie he did with Brad Pitt.
Uh-huh.
He was, like, pissing on himself in the tank, just sitting in it for days or weeks.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, so... You know, he goes there. Yeah. So you don't want to fight a guy like that.
In other news, I heard his new film's amazing.
Oh, have you seen Honey Boy? Oh, my God. The movie's incredible.
No, I haven't seen it.
I watched Falcon, Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Peanut Butter Falcon.
What's the new one called?
Honey Boy. I haven't seen that one. I was thinking of
Peanut
Butter
Falcon. Heard it's great. Because that's based on his life, kind of.
Right.
Honey Boy is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Peanut Butter Falcon was the one I was referring to.
Which is great.
It's great.
I didn't see that.
Great film.
So good.
I think we own it now. I bought it.
Oh,
so you can watch it.
You're in for a treat.
Yeah.
You're in for a treat. It is quite the ride.
I'll think of your story the whole time.
Yeah, do it.
Never be able to see
that it. That is a dude, for sure. That is the guy. That is a version of Shia that wanted to fight me. That guy.
Really?
Totally. 100%.
Oh, goodness.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's a good story.
And then
story.
We'll... an hour always goes by so quick. But we got to set up a double date. We got to make it happen before the year's end.
Yes.
We'll find a time to do it, and I appreciate you coming on. And
if you
want to come back
on
later when your storyline's picking back up or starts to pick up, and we can talk about more, we'd love to have you. So
that'd be great. That'd be
appreciate
great.
You coming over, man. But I'll go show you some of those future episodes.
Yes, let's go
watch.
Sorry,
guys.
All right, everyone. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.